Hi, listeners. You can now listen to this community podcast production ad-free on Apple Podcasts and access the podcast 1 week early and get exclusive bonus content. Just hit the subscribe button now on Apple Podcasts. Or if you want access to all of the above, plus video versions of the podcast, head to patreon.com/stopthekilling.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
On the morning of August 1st, 1966, shots ring out from the observation deck of the clock tower on the University of Texas campus. It marks the infamous beginning of the modern era of mass shootings in America.
I'm Sarah Ferris, true crime podcaster.
And I'm Catherine Schweit, the former head of the FBI's active shooter program.
And you're listening to Stop the Killing.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Stop the Killing podcast. I know you usually hear Sarah's voice at the opening of a podcast, but today I'm opening the podcast because I wanted to introduce you to some friends of mine. We talk so much about keeping people safe, keeping your employees safe, keeping your school students safe, but we don't often take an opportunity to talk about some of the other solutions that have hit the table or some of the other things that we want to try to do to help in the bigger overall plan of keeping people safe. Sometimes we touch on them like legislative things, but one of the things that I thought about that we never really touch on is we never talk about the technical solutions that are out there in my private world of my consulting. I work with companies that do a lot of production for technical solutions. You think about like door locks or access control or cameras or perimeter checks. These are technical things that you just count on every day to keep you and your family and your coworkers safe. But I don't know that we always know where they come from, how they come about, and which ones work better than others. So today I wanted to introduce you to two friends of mine, Ben Rushton, who is the CEO and founder of EasyPA. And joining us is the technical advisor who works with EasyPA full-time, Jason Devaherick. So I wanted to welcome Jason and Ben to our show. If you are watching them, you can see they're the two guys as opposed to me and Sarah. Welcome, guys.
Thank you for having us.
So when I say, oh, what are technical solutions? Did I do an okay job of kind of describing what I mean? There are other things that are technical solutions.
Yeah, I think it was a good introduction. You know, from our perspective, we built a solution that had a slightly different, you know, original kind of aim. Then we realized when we started implementing our solution in the United States, we realized that there was a massive gap in the security side, which wasn't being filled. So we built a couple of pitch decks to describe to people how our product can actually fill those gaps. And that's how we've been promoting our product ever since, even though it wasn't originally built as a security product. That's how it's being used in schools at the moment.
Interesting. And so probably this is a good time to pause and say, you'll notice that the people who are on with us today have a little bit stronger accents than Sarah. So if you could tell us, Ben, where are you guys from originally? How did you end up here in the States?
Yeah, sure. So Jason and I are both from Melbourne in Australia, and we didn't meet until we were both working on an unrelated project in about 2018. And at that time, Jason was based in LA, I was based in Melbourne. But meeting through that project, we actually realized, talking about sort of growing up, we're only a couple of years apart in age, that we grew up in the same neighborhood. You know, there was there's some geographical synergy there from that point of view. And we've been working together since about the back end of 2018 on this project.
Can you give us an overview, Ben, of
what EasyPA is now and what it's come from then.
So our company is a 40-year-old communication public address business. We specialize in public space communications and have done since about 81, 82. What that basically means is the projects that we worked on was things like bell timers in schools, you know, the microphone system in Parliament House in the state of Victoria in Australia, distress alarms in Henbridge Prison, which was a maximum security prison in Victoria, and those types of projects, shopping centres and things like that. So as the tech revolution started to hit through the 2000s and into the mid-2010s, public address manufacturers that manufacture things like amplifiers and speakers and stuff like that, there was very little growth and very little R&D put into those types of products and very little development. And what we found is the products that we were able to access versus the needs of our existing clientele were no longer in alignment. So bringing Jason on, what that allowed us to do is then start to say, okay, how do we take the things that are important to our customers in terms of communication processes and things that they need to do on a daily basis and move them into a platform that they're now familiar with that would work off their laptop or their phone or devices that you have in your hand every day in the modern workspace?
Could you kind of clarify, what does that mean to people who have kids in school?
Yeah, where this thing crosses over into the safety and security space is that, as Ben was describing, the original product was designed as essentially a school scheduling system. So bells, timers, you know, end of day, lunchtime, you know, things of that nature. Right. And the way it evolved into a security product was really, you know, on the back of the fact that, you know, Ben was mentioning there's not a lot of R&D done in the audio space. People's parents maybe had a record player at home, but the speakers and amplifiers from those systems are exactly the same from a technology perspective as what you can buy today. Those things are just essentially recycled products that just keep getting repackaged and resold under different brand names and sort of, you know, in different scenarios. And so no one's really doing any new stuff. So what we wanted to do is in a school or a public building, it's the same scenario. There's a bunch of equipment. It's usually in a closet somewhere in the building. And if you want to do an emergency announcement or if you want to do something, you generally have to go and find that closet, which could be half a mile away on a campus. And in an emergency situation, it's not efficient for somebody to have to first get to a certain location to find something that can tell people something's wrong.
Ooh, got it. So let me, this is EasyPA for Dummies over here with Sarah. So what I'm hearing is, so if I was in a school and there was some kind of emergency situation, I don't have to get to the office and go, quick, stick over the announcement that we need to evacuate now. There's some centralized system that does that.
Correct. What EasyPA does is it allows you to leverage that equipment that's in the closet and manipulate it and use it from your mobile phone or laptop or desktop.
Got it. That's so
you don't even have to be in the building.
Yeah, you can do it remotely. Then we're using schools as a good example here. The equipment that's existing in every school that's already built is often worth hundreds of thousands of dollars or more. And so if somebody builds a new system that's better, even if it's objectively better and everyone's like, oh, this is amazing and so on, if you're asking somebody to remove $200,000 or $300,000 worth of equipment and replace it with something else that's the same price, there's a barrier to entry from a, you know, financial perspective. A lot of schools rely on government grants to purchase a lot of equipment. And so the main thing that we wanted to do is to be able to add a product to what's already there. And it doesn't matter what's there. Our product integrates with any system that exists already. Therefore, they don't have to rip out what they've got. From a technology perspective, the way we built this thing was so that it could just be plugged into anything that's already there and used remotely, which we mentioned before. They're the two sort of key things that we thought would make a big difference.
This is a technological solution for all kinds of communications things. So how did you move from the concept of what you were doing in PA, which I think of as public announced systems, and from when I was growing up, to where you are today. Why did you decide to do that?
You know, just by way of background, we've been servicing the Victorian Education Department for the best part of 25 years and look after about 60 to 70% of their schools. The initial reason the product was developed and why we went down this path was customer need. And there was no solution out there that could meet their specific requirements when we talk about daily communication requirements in a school. And then what we looked at the feature set of the product was like, okay, if you're a school administrator, what's the most important things you need to do in terms of communicating on a daily basis? Well, you need to ring the bell, you need to be able to make announcements, you need to be able to evacuate the building, and then you might want to play music. So once we started to look at the feature set, we then started to say, okay, if we take it away from communications and public address and look at what everyone else is doing, what's the model that new products are getting up in that is going to be sustainable long into the future? And that was software-based, integratable type product. The build parameters were based around remote access and being able to connect to any type of hardware, as Jason mentioned, because that gave us the best opportunity to make the product available to a broader user base at a, you know, at a cost-effective point, as opposed to saying, hey, you need to change everything in your building to be able to benefit from this particular product. So we, you know, we effectively solved the problem we had in our own product line, but that then opened up a huge range of opportunities for us because it meant we were no longer a commodities hardware company where we was, you know, buying and selling hardware things. We were now a software company that had a package that could be deployed anywhere in the world and we could monitor it remotely and could be installed to anything. So that customer need and then solving their problem was at the heart of why we started this build.
So you were in the Victorian school system for, say, 25 years. That's quite a long period of time. When we're looking at that safety aspect in particular, how have you seen the needs change? Did you see a rise in perhaps lockdown drills that hadn't been there before?
So I guess to answer your question, Sarah, in terms of Australia, active shooter in schools is not a concern. In terms of when I say it's not a concern, it's something that, you know, by the grace of God, Australia as a community has not had to deal with. We haven't had a situation like Sandy Hook or, you know, or anything like that in Australia. So our technologies and the effort put into securing schools is done more on a what issues are we going to have on a daily basis that are more common. Unfortunately, probably the biggest thing we get asked to assist with is creating security communication capabilities within the school grounds around parents who have, you know, intervention orders against their children and not allowed to interact with their kids coming on campus. That's probably the biggest issue that we get asked to try and help resolve. How they usually take shape, schools implement what's known as a dog whistle alarm. So what that means is they're able to play, say, a piece of music that all the teachers and all the staff will understand means something. So the teacher might hear that and just know to just walk over to the classroom door and lock. The office staff might know, okay, we need to call the police. But, you know, there's no stress put on students. There's no acknowledgement of anyone that's on the ground. Oh, I've been identified that I shouldn't be here. So they don't hit a panic mode or anything like that. So our product gives them the capability to do that from a mobile phone or from a remote location, which enhances what their capabilities are. It's always been there as an issue for them. This allows them to deal with it a lot quicker from point of threat identification to communication going to the right people quicker than, you know, as Jason mentioned earlier, running to the closet, pressing a button and have all that time delayed in that process. So it's just an enhancement of their emergency management systems and a tool that improves what they're already doing.
I can think of a perfect example of that. All the teachers and even the parents who are hired to do playground duties, lunchroom duty, they're standing someplace, they're out on the playground, or, you know, they're out on the school property and they see somebody who is a problem. They could, if they have it on their phone, they could reach out without having to come into the school.
Yeah. You know, to your point, a teacher on playground duty, standing out away from building, away from infrastructure, now has a capability to communicate a medical emergency or something a lot easier to people on the grounds.
Yeah. So it's not just somebody showing up with a gun. It's all kinds of emergencies.
Yeah. The incident of people showing up with a gun, which is the most probably severe example of an emergency that would happen on a school campus, it's quite rare in terms of if you think how many kids go to school globally on a daily basis. In terms of other emergencies like medical emergencies, that's probably the most common, or arguments and fights between children and things of that nature. They're happening more on a daily basis. Teachers are dealing with, you know, in their day-to-day lives more often. So being able to get other people in the building or in the space to understand that there's some sort of emergency going on quicker, and whatever plans they have for said emergency can occur a lot quicker than what it has done in the past.
Why I love the product is there's so much hardware out there already. And we've had years of putting message boards up and PA systems in. And now we have cell phones and Wi-Fi, and there's so many different things. I just feel like the value in it is that it takes existing products and ties them together. That's what I see.
Yeah. When we landed in the US and started looking at the United States market, we weren't looking at it from an active shooter perspective. That wasn't something that we set out to try and get involved in. As we started to interact more with people in educational communities, high schools, primary schools, colleges, we started to see a fair bit of overlap for our product. We don't, and we never will claim to be a solution in that space. We believe that public address has a role to play in that type of scenario. The backbone of what our software is has implications in that space.
Well, and I'll add that Sarah's heard me say this before, and why I'm so intrigued by and supportive of your product is that the success or failure of an emergency depends on communications. It's all absolutely communications. How quickly law enforcement gets to someplace depends on the communications. How quickly people are cleared from an area depends on the communications. How quickly fire is notified depends on the communications. What parents know is communications. So to me, I love this concept, this effort that you guys have brought and you're pushing forward.
Mm. Yeah, and I think the communication thread is critical because we found a lot of people, and this is not specific to the US, it's the same in Australia as well in Europe, whereby people who have traditionally been in this space, they are essentially analog hardware people. They were built to do one specific thing. They can't be changed, modified, integrated into something else, or they don't have any software. It's a physical thing that does a physical thing. And so a lot of schools were built 30 years ago or 50 years ago or even 20 years ago. And the things that are in them, they do what they were supposed to do reasonably well, but they can't do anything else, and they can't react to modern threats or the way things happen in this day and age. The biggest limitation was the one we touched on earlier in the discussion about having a physical location that someone has to go to activate anything. In the modern day, if there's an emergency, you don't have the time or luxury of being able to run down 15 corridors and into a closet that might be locked behind a room and then figure out what you have to do. But from an integration perspective, what we found was every company does their own thing. There are a lot of good companies making good products, but they do their specific thing very well, and they don't care about what else is part of the system or the network. So what you have is products that do one thing, but can't tell another product to do its thing down the line. So you've got all these stovepiped activities. And if you take emergencies out of it, that probably is okay. But when you talk about emergencies, systems need to talk to each other, and none of those systems talk to each other. So there's all these gaps. You know, I'll give you a real life example. These days, we've noticed a proliferation of, say, gunshot detection systems, which are becoming very popular. We've personally come across maybe 8 or 9 companies who do that. There's probably another 20 or 30 that we haven't talked to directly. But the ones that we've seen, they actually work really well. We've tested a lot of them. And if there's a gunshot, they will detect a gunshot. And of course, if you are the product people designing that product in those companies, well, your primary aim is to detect a gunshot. So there's nothing wrong with that. But when that goes into a school environment, the thing that no one takes into account at the moment is that, okay, I'm going to put a gunshot detector in a school. And if you're the person at the school purchasing that system, you're thinking this is going to solve all my problems. The missing link at the moment is that thing will pick up a gunshot and it'll pick it up accurately. The issue actually stems from what happens next. That's the problem. So these things will pick up a gunshot and then it sends an email to a bunch of people who are on some list from some period of time. You know, who's on the list? Who made the list? When did they make the list? Is anyone on that list in the school at that moment? You know, there's about, you know, 20 things that you could come up with of why that system would not work from a process perspective and a communications perspective. It has nothing to do with the quality of the product. Yeah, the product works great. But what happens next is the problem. And, you know, what we discovered is that initially, without meaning to do so, our system actually solves that problem. And so once we discovered that our system solves that problem, we've been, you know, knocking on doors at schools saying, hey, you know, you guys should implement this system.
If you're a school administrator and you've got the gun detection system in the school, can EasyPA then implement and integrate with that gun system?
That's exactly what happens. Yeah, it'll plug into a gunshot detection system.
Mm-hmm.
And then the school or whoever's operating our system can decide what happens next. They're not going to decide to send emails. I can guarantee you that. You can decide what happens if the gunshot detection system detects a gunshot. So you can say, you know, send text messages out to these 25 people. But the most important thing that we can allow them to do is not actually emails or phone calls and texts, even though it can do all that. But the most important thing is that you can notify people from an audible perspective in the building that has the problem. And so now you can say, hey, if there's a gunshot detected, now you can do whatever process they have for emergencies that they want to do. So that could be lockdown. It could be evacuation. You could do different zones. So you could say, if the gunshot that was detected on the West Wing, lock down the West Wing and evacuate the East Wing. You know, we don't tell them what to do. We just tell them that they can do anything that they want to do. So they can design what they want to happen next. And that's the important thing.
It's taken me back to an episode we did at the very beginning of season one, which was this episode called The Navy Yard. And in it, what happened was there was a shooter that came into like a massive conglomeration of buildings and somebody pulled the fire alarm. And so everybody evacuated like it was a fire, but because they didn't know what kind of emergency it was, some people walked into the aim of the shooter. So if I'm thinking about the system that you've got, am I right in saying that if that was the case, the system you could have set up so it would be nuanced to, you know, this is not a fire alarm, this is a lockdown alarm.
Absolutely. And you know, you could do different things in different zones. The other interesting part about this when it comes to this example is that you can communicate into the building. Let's say in an active shooter scenario, the active shooter is in the building and they sort of lock themselves in the building, let's just say. And there might be some people might have been evacuated, but there might be people that are locked in with the shooter. You can now remotely communicate into that building and into different zones. So if they know where the shooter is, they can tell specific rooms or areas to do something different. Again, we're just giving them the ability to do whatever it is that they want to do remotely. So from outside the school, you can shoot audio into the school. You can even, you know, sort of talk to the shooter if you wanted to. I'm not saying necessarily you want to do that, but it just gives them the ability to do all of these things.
The ability to communicate with the shooter inside is super valuable to law enforcement. We send little phones on, you know, rocket cars into rooms to try to get phones to people and keep them and keep the law enforcement officers safe so we can talk to them. So it's super valuable to be able to talk to somebody who's barricaded himself in a building.
Hello, and welcome to Guilty Greenie. I feel like we should start off this show by saying it's nearly impossible to be 100% sustainable given the current world we live in.
How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Not a great analogy for a vegetarian, but, you know.
We're talking about sustainability, maybe not the best analogy.
Don't eat the elephant is the first rule of the Guilty Greenie.
There's your first challenge of the week. Avoid elephants. What they used to call frugal is now considered sustainable.
That's such an aha moment. Frugal to sustainable.
You can save money and help the planet. That's going to be our new
tagline for sure. Yeah,
you can find Guilty Greenie on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcast platform you prefer. And join us in tackling the Guilty Greenie challenges. Until then, stay curiously green.
Have you ever felt that pang of disappointment when you couldn't add a ticket to your collection because it was digital? Or maybe you just lost it? Well, StubForge.com is here to change that. Imagine this: tickets that not only look but feel like the real deal. Because each ticket from StubForge is printed on the same quality stock that Ticketmaster uses and printed with genuine ticket printers. It's like holding a piece of the concert, the game, or the show right in your hands. But StubForge isn't just about replacing tickets. With the easy-to-use interactive designer, you can create custom tickets for anything, from concerts to sports games, pregnancy announcements, or parties. Why not make your invitations stand out with tickets that are as unique as your event? And if you're trying to complete a back catalogue of missing tickets, StubForge offers bulk discounts to make it both easy and affordable. With StubForge, you can once more give your loved ones physical tickets and see their eyes light up instantly at the best gift you can give. So whether you're looking to reignite your ticket collection, craft the perfect gift, or send the coolest invites, head over to StubForge.com. Start creating today and see how StubForge makes every ticket a story worth saving. Visit StubForge.com and start making tickets today.
I guess the key differentiating piece of our architecture compared to other systems in the school security space is being able to take software-based products and integrate them with hardware-based products of any age. So when Jason mentions the gunshot sensor, that's a hardware component, but it has a modern software piece to it. They rely on someone else to integrate that, say, to the PA system. So if a school, for instance, wanted to have a gunshot sensor installed and they wanted that gunshot sensor to trigger the emergency evacuation alarm on the PA system when it went off, that product, that gunshot sensor, any brand, would not be able to do that without a link between the 25-year-old public address system and the gunshot sensor. So we're that link between the communication systems that are existing to give them integration capability. So that, you know, that covers off a broad suite of security type products, from door locks to gunshot sensors to panic buttons, coming in terms of sensory devices. And then on the way out, things such as mass notification systems like text, automated phone systems that connect into 911 call centers, and, you know, things of that nature. So there's the inbound input threat detection stuff that we integrate to. There's the action that you want to happen in the building on, say, existing signage, existing public address systems. And then there's the outbound notification you want to happen. We're the link between all those products and all those different systems. And our system is very agnostic in terms of, you know, as long as the products that they have allow integration, we're able to integrate them and make them behave like one network system. That's what is so unique about our product. And that is, you know, what we believe makes it valuable in an emergency situation.
Do you think of yourselves as just a company that helps schools or businesses link their systems together in an emergency or in a shooting situation? Or do you think of it beyond just an emergency?
That's a good question. So one of the things that we sort of believe in, I guess, is if you're just going to implement a product for an emergency situation, chances are it's not going to be used. And when you have a community that has a high turnover of people, which is schools a really good example of that, because teachers get moved, you know, yearly administration staff come and go, you have a lot of temps. What happens is the training that's put in at the time that the product goes in is trained to a particular subsect of that community. It might be administration staff or a security officer or whatever it is. And then there might be some periodical training that's done, but usually that training falls by the wayside. And you know, if you fast forward 5 years down the track, what we do notice, okay, what systems have you got? Oh, we got this, but no one knows how to use it, right? Or there's a big manual that's covered in dust sitting in a drawer somewhere which shows them how to use it. The issue we see with that is if you're not familiar with the system at all, or, you know, worst case scenario, you don't know it exists. Best case scenario, you know how it exists, but you're not really confident how to use it. When you're in a heightened state of panic because there's something going on, like a medical emergency, active shooter, whatever it is, you're subconscious to go interact with that system to be a tool that's going to work for you. You know, you're probably not going to go to it because you don't trust it and you're not using it. One thing that I've maintained, and Jason, you know, Jason's been instrumental in driving, is ensuring that we keep features in our product that are relevant to day-to-day operation. So why do you need to interact with this system beyond being an emergency? So the fact that it has your bell schedules in there, the fact that you can use it as a music player, the fact that you can use it to make announcements means that you're going to use it on a daily basis. So the more familiar you are with using something, when you're in an emergency, you will go to it first. And if it is able to touch on all those other things, it all lands at the same place, then really it lands you into your policies and procedures quicker and always get you to the same place, as opposed to the stovepipe type systems that only come into play during a particular type of emergency. That is what we believe is very, very important in developing the software. There is an ease of use and there is a need of use.
So people who are involved in schools, what should they be asking? Give me just like two questions they should ask from a technical solution standpoint, whether they're headed in the right direction.
Sure. First question is, what systems do I already have and how can I implement them to make my school safer before I go out and buy anything else? So if you don't understand what you already have and how it works, you shouldn't be adding anything to it. So find out if it needs to be replaced or if it's been used correctly. So for instance, if you have a public address system, but you're not using it in an emergency evacuation, well, why not? Well, can we use it? What if we do use it, what does that mean?
I think the one that I would ask to add would really be for the district to ask the new providers of their new, so if they're trying to in the market for a new product, whatever that product is once you install this new product, you know, in my building, will it integrate with everything that I already have? There's a difference between we can integrate and when we leave the job, it will be integrated. They're two totally different things because some of these systems are theoretically expandable, but they haven't done the integration work. So they get past that question by saying, yes, it's possible, but not committing to actually doing the integration. So all of these things have to be installed, right? And so the question is really about, you know, okay, I'm going to purchase this thing today. You're going to install it next week. And when you finish the installation, it will be integrated into the rest of my system.
I feel like at this point, I should say, Ben, where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find us at www.ezypa.com. All our information's on the website. You can request a demo. We do Zoom-based demonstrations to people on how the software works. We have resellers in, I think now 12 states around the United States where our product is available. They're all also on our website. The product is quite readily available. No huge wait times on delivery or installation. We can accommodate you pretty quickly.
I love that you are a solution-oriented company and you are interested in finding, immersing yourselves in finding the best solutions for a school system, not just for a shooting situation, but for the child on the playground who breaks a leg, a person who comes onto the campus who shouldn't be there, or a teacher who has their own emergency, and the regular things like the bell systems and the announcements and everything. It's kind of a one-stop shop. So I love your product. I'm all supportive of it.
Well, we appreciate that. You know, if people visit our website, they'll see we have integration partners that we work with, you know, other products and companies that have the same philosophy as us when it comes to school security. We've got some great holistic solutions in terms of delivering an outcome for a district. And those partnerships are very important to us because it shows there are other companies out there that do see things the right way. If districts are looking to work in this space, they do have people who want to help them and give them a custom turnkey solutions. And we don't have the answers across the board, but you know, we have a role to play and we just want to play our role in that space.
I love that. I'm so supportive of EasyPA that if you reach out to me, I will connect you directly with Ben and Jason. They're a great company.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to know more, Catherine's book, Stop the Killing, is out now. For more details, go to catherineschweit.com. Please consider also supporting our independently made podcast. It's simple to do. Go to patreon.com/stopthekilling. And for as little as the price of a latte a month, you can be part of the solution to stop the killing. Patreon rewards range from official do-gooder status to ad-free episodes, autographed books, and opportunities to connect with us directly for your business, school, church, or even just a book club chat. But just knowing that you are part of a movement that has the power to make your community safer, well, that's got to taste better than a skinny cappuccino any day. So please head to patreon.com/stopthekilling now and polish off your do-gooder halo and make sure to include your name so we can give you a shout out. This podcast is a Conmunity podcast production. That's Con with an N. If you want more content, then head over to Conmunity Podcast at Instagram, where you'll find trailers on more binge-worthy true crime, like the award-winning podcast Conning the Con. And check out our show notes for all the links mentioned. Finally, if you want one takeaway action that you can do right now that can help make our community safer, please share, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen. Everybody needs to know that they hold the keys to see something and say something. Together, we can stop the killing.
It's one of those things you hope never happens, but you better train for it because it will happen, and it will happen in places you wouldn't expect. Be ready for it.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, podcast listeners, I'm Paul Brandis introducing my podcast, Countdown to Dallas. It's a fascinating, in-depth look at the seemingly unconnected events that led to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's based on my book of the same title. In that book and in this podcast, I go all the way back to 1939 when Lee Harvey Oswald was born into a troubled and dysfunctional family. I'll follow his transient and often violent teenage years and young adulthood, painting a fuller picture of the man who would later become Kennedy's killer. I also take a look at events unfolding in that era like Cuba and Vietnam. And I'll unpack the conspiracy theories, too, not one of which has ever been conclusively proven. Subscribe to Countdown to Dallas at evergreenpodcasts.com or your favorite listening app, October 31st.